I'm Dennis Edge, and a longtime resident of the neighborhood. Moved here in 1970. When I moved here was the height of the Vietnam anti-war movement, and I was involved. I got involved politically with the anti-war movement and in Atlanta, and they were good organizers and serious people, and convinced me to become a socialist, so I did, and moved to New York as a member of the Socialist Workers Party. I worked in the national office of the Socialist Workers Party for a number of years, and about 10 years, too. We had a publishing arm. I did the book covers and all the promotion material for the publishing company. Then I got burnt out. The war ended. Things started to move more to the right, and so I guess I did too. And I got out and I became what I studied in school for was graphic design, and I became a graphic designer. Worked at Lord & Taylor for a while, and I met who is now my wife, Lois, and we established a design studio, and we worked as designers for a number of years until I retired about 10 years ago. And then I became a birder. The first bird I photographed was a red-tailed hawk, actually in front of my apartment on 9th Street. That year we had a big snowstorm. It was a nor'easter, left more than 20 inches on the ground. And the third day into it, I went out and I was moving the snow off my car, and I heard this tinkling noise across the street. No one was on the street, so I walked over to investigate, and it was a red-tail on a garbage can with a pigeon under it. And I didn't really know. I knew it was a bird of prey, but I didn't know it was a red-tailed hawk because I didn't know birds then. Turns out the bird was injured, had an injury to its chest. So we called the Audubon Society, had my wife call the Audubon Society. And they in turn gave us the number of a bird rehabilitator. Well, the bird rehabilitator said, throw a blanket over the bird, put it in a box, and bring it to me. Easier said than done. By this time, a number of East Village people had gathered around the bird, and but one guy took his leather jacket off and tried to throw it over the bird. The bird hopped out in the middle of the street and then up on PS 122, which is on the corner of my block, and sat there for about 30 minutes, then flew off to the park. Somebody told me later it had died, but I don't know the real story on it. But that was a catalyst for me becoming a birder. Turns out we get red tails in here almost every year since that time. That was where I first started photographing. Then I branched out and I found other migrants coming through, the whole warbler family, which is large and a very colorful family. And to many birders, the warbler family is the creme de la creme of birding, because there's so many species and they're so colorful, and it just delights. Here is a Blackburnian warbler, a delightful bird to get. Many birders just will walk 5 miles to get this bird. This one's called a black-throated green warbler. But you can see that both of them are warblers, but how different they are. And there are about 48 of them that come through here, and they're all like this, different. So they're spectacular birds. They are little birds, but if you really see them, they're beautiful. This is the red-tailed hawk, and this is the one we call Dominatrix. We called her Dominatrix because she's a large female, and she chased all the other hawks out. She dominated this park from about 2009 to about 2012. And no other hawks could come in here because this was her territory. This is called a common raven, which is uncommon in New York. We don't have many of these birds here. They're upstate and in colder climates. This one was brought in from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It had an injury. And the guy lived backed up next to the Marble Cemetery on 2nd Street. And he left the bird in his backyard and fed it there. The bird's wings started to heal, and it could jump fly over the fence and into the Marble Cemetery, so he decided to leave it there and they would feed it there. Yeah. So the bird remained there for about a year while its wing was getting better, and it started to hop fly around and it got better. But the unusual thing is that it became a companion of this Cooper's hawk. The Cooper's hawk came in, and I was just amazed because they should be arch enemies. But the raven is a very sociable bird, and it was probably lonely. So they would perch together for hours. They not only did this one day, I thought, well, okay, that could be just, you know, happenstance. But they did it for 3 days in a row. And one would fly with the other one and perch in the same area. And eventually the raven's wing got well enough that it could fly. It would leave the park for the cemetery for 2 or 3 days at a time. And eventually it just disappeared. So hopefully it's alive and well someplace. 2 years ago, I photographed a mating pair that actually nested and had three young in Queens. And that was unusual. A lot of people were flocking out there. A lot of birders were flocking out there because this is happening. So it does happen periodically, but it's not a common event. It's called a Scots Oriole. And this is the first time it was recorded here. It had been feeding on sapwells made by a sapsucker. On a little viburnum bush over here. Yellow-bellied sapsucker, which is a member of the woodpecker family. This is an American woodcock. My friend Loy found one the other day on the street. I had been stunned, and she came in, and it revived, and she released it, and it flew away. It's actually a shorebird. It uses that long beak to dig in the mud and get a larva and worms out of the deep mud. And all of Tompkins used to be a wetlands. All of this area was it. And I think these birds probably have a genetic memory of that. And that's why we still get these birds through here. This was taken at Central Park. It's a black-crowned night heron. But I brought it to show because we're getting them here. We're getting them here. They come at night. And I didn't believe it when one of the park regulars told me. I said, you have to show me. Because he described it to me. I said, you're describing a heron to me, but I don't think we get herons here. But it does come, and I photographed one here. There's no water. They usually eat fish and aquatic life, but the birds are coming here for the rats. They're eating rats. And then I looked it up in my book, and it says they do eat rodents. Great horned owl. Was here in the Hare Krishna tree in 2007 in September. Stayed for about 3 days. And I located it because jays were mobbing it. They were noisily attacking it, and that's how I found it. With image stabilization, you can do it. And you shoot fast, and you eliminate any blur or shake from being handheld. So people will ask you what you're shooting while you're shooting it, and that's a little bit annoying because you're shooting, you know, and you're trying to concentrate on getting it. And but other than that, pretty good. I don't have any problems with people. And most people, I think, some people are becoming birders because of it. I know sometimes when I walk into the park, people start looking up because they know I'm a bird guy. A book I'm doing for Birds of Tompkins Square, which I have 94 species for now. 95% of them are from the park here. That happens during the migration seasons in the spring and the fall. I'm looking for a publisher. As I said, I was a graphic designer, so I've laid it out, and I've got it all designed, and I've written it. I just have to have it read by a couple of my excellent birding friends, and then I'm ready for a publisher. After I left the Socialist Workers Party, I felt New York was home, and it is home now. So I've been here for almost, 44 years? So I spend the majority of my life here.